So I wanted to, in terms of getting ready for us taking communion today, I wanted to just kind of keep with the Good Shepherd theme, since that's kind of what we've been in Psalm 23 the last few Sundays. And so I just want to take a look at a few verses here in John chapter 10. And this is where Jesus calls himself the Good Shepherd. And so I just want to mention here a few verses there in John 10. Look at verse 11 and then 15. So verse 11, here's where Jesus says, "I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." There, and then he says in verse 15, "Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." And so, you know, this is what a good shepherd does, right? He's going to protect the sheep. And Jesus is, of course, alluding to his crucifixion, him delivering himself up to be sacrificed on the cross for us and for our sins, right? And he did that because he loved us. And so, you know, this is what communion is about. When, you know, these symbols that are passed around the you know, the unleavened bread and the juice, the cup of juice, they're symbolic of Jesus's act of laying down his life for us, right? That unleavened bread is a symbol of his body that was broken for us, and then the cup of juice is symbolic of his blood that was shed for us. And you know, it's the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. You know, it's interesting. And I don't know, I'm assuming that if you've put your faith in Christ, you've had kind of a similar experience that a lot of people have, although how they get there is in different ways that God leads them. But I remember, for example, like in the Baptist church I grew up in, they had a lot of, you know, altar calls where basically they'd explain the gospel and they'd ask people to come forward if they wanted to put their faith in Christ, you know, just kind of as a visual symbol of, I want to give my life to Christ. And I remember several times kind of, you know, that little heart tug, feeling like, you know, I wonder if I should go down there or not. And I was just a kid and I was afraid and so on. But then, you know, fast forward 15 years in college, God was just, you know, putting that on my heart again. And it wasn't at an altar call, but just in my dorm room one night. Just, I knew what the gospel was. I had been studying what the Bible had to say about why Jesus came, and so it was like God was just pulling on my heart, if you will, to say, you need to put your faith in me. You need to become one of my sheep, really. And so when you look in this John 10 passage in verse 16, it says, "And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice." And so I just want to encourage you that if you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ and you are aware of the fact that you have sinned and aware that Jesus is the Savior, that maybe today he's calling you, you know, in your heart to put your faith in him, to become, say, hey, become part of the fold. Come and put your faith in me for the forgiveness of your sins. And that's what happens, right? When we hear that call of the Lord, you know, in our hearts, that to put our faith in him, he forgives our sin. We now have a relationship with God. That's how it begins, is by putting our faith in what Christ did, what the Good Shepherd did for us by laying down his life. And then also, in addition to that forgiveness and this relationship, you know, if that wasn't enough, okay, a part of that, it says in verse 28 here of chapter 10 of Gospel of John, "I give them eternal life." Speaking of the sheep there, he says, "I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." Isn't that a great promise? So, you know, when you, if you hear the call of God on your heart to put your faith in him, when you do, you have a relationship with him, you're forgiven, but you have eternal life, it says there. We'll be with the Lord forever when we die. And then he says, you know, we have that security in him. No one will snatch us out of his hands. And that's just wonderful promises there in the Gospel of John regarding the Good Shepherd Jesus. But this morning, as we take communion together, just think about these things. Think about how the Good Shepherd has laid down his life for us. And again, if you haven't put your faith in him, I urge you to do so today. But let's pray together here before we distribute the elements here. Lord, we thank you so much for just this time of remembrance, really, is what communion is. It reminds us of a number of things, but it reminds us of what Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, has done for us. He loved us so much that he laid down his life for us. And he chose to do that. No one took his life from him, but he laid it down so that we might have life now. The life that you want for us, and then life eternal. And so, Lord, we're so thankful for that. Thank you that it's just by faith that we are saved, by faith that we come into a relationship with you through Jesus Christ, and that it's not keeping some list of things that, you know, if we keep it, then we're in. If we don't, we mess up, we're out. It's because we can't keep it that we need Christ. And it's because of what he has done, and he lived a righteous life. He lived the life that we cannot live because of our sin. And so we're so thankful for our Savior Jesus. We pray, Lord, that you meet us in this time of communion. Speak to our hearts even in this time, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So if you've never taken communion with us, the ushers will be passing out the unleavened bread and a cup of juice. And so just... If you've given your life to Christ, we encourage you to participate. If you have not, we encourage you to just let it go on by. And no one will think twice about it. And just we'll spend some time, a few minutes here, as Ed will be playing some music. But give that time to kind of you talk. God can just talk in prayer, silent conversational prayer. Then when that's done, they'll pass out these containers. You can put your communion cup in. Okay? Thanks. Thank you. you were to talk to my children, they would have a number of stories they would tell you about me getting lost. It's, I don't know what it is, but well, you've already heard the NSA story. I won't give you that one again. But one time, just over here off of on the Amity Road, there's a primitive entrance to the park, and then there's the Darby Lakes entrance, you know, which is all nicely manicured and everything. But one evening, it was I think it was Linda and Megan and I. Megan seems to be always on these adventures where we get lost. But we went into that park in that primitive area, and if you're not familiar with the Prairie Oaks Park, it has a lot of, you know, prairie grass and fairly tall, and they do have these paths cut out, and certainly we stuck to the paths. But, you know, for whatever reason, that evening, I was not really paying attention to all the turns that we made and all this. And well, then before I knew it, you know, it was starting to get, towards dark, and you heard the loudspeaker come on. The park is going to close in 15 minutes. Please head back to your car. Okay. I was like, okay, yeah, fine. And at one point, I had made a decision to go into a certain area that was cut out, but Linda's like, I don't think we're supposed to go over there, you know. And I should have listened. I just don't know why I don't learn this. I should just listen to Linda, whatever she says. But because of that turn, we were in this area where, you know, again, it was all cut out and everything. But the problem is when you have the tall prairie grass, I mean, you don't know where that's taking you. You can't, it's not like I'm, you know, it's not like I had a drone. I could sit there and look overhead and see where would that path take me. No. So, you know, we cut up this way, and we saw, no, it just kind of takes us further away, because I could hear the road. You know, if I wanted to actually walk to the road, I could have just walked right through the tall grass and probably picked up 100 ticks on the way, you know, and made it to the road and then found my way back that way. But, you know, so as it got a little darker and darker, and then another announcement, yeah, 5 minutes, go back to your car and, you know, get out of the park, you know. And finally, we made a correct turn and made it back to the area where he had parked. But it was just like, you know, if I had had a guide with me that knew the park well, they would have been so great, because I just follow them and we would have been just fine, right? And but that happens. We sometimes find ourselves in a place where we don't know where to go, we don't know what to do, we really need God's guidance. You know, it's one thing when you're in a park and, you know, something like that, but just about the decisions that we're faced with, right, where we need help, we need the Lord's direction, and maybe you're faced with some major decisions today. If not today, you will some other time. And so I'm really praying that the Lord uses this time in God's Word today to give you some just good principles from the Bible on how to make, how to follow God's lead in our lives. And that's really what it's about, really, is following God wherever he takes us. And from our vantage point, sometimes he takes us to some scary places, right? Some places we didn't expect to end up, but yet we're still following him and everything. And so let's just pray one more time together, all right? Just to ask for God's help here in hearing what he has to say. Lord, we do come to you this morning, looking to you as our the one that we want to follow, and like we sang that song, just we do want to follow you anywhere, which is really kind of a scary thing to say to someone. But when we know who that someone is, when we know it's you, God, and we can trust you, and we even have a history with you, maybe that we can look back and say, Lord, I know you've been so faithful. I know you are faithful. I know you will be faithful. And so, God, thank you that you are just a very present help, it says, in trouble. But also, you are our guide, Lord. And so Lord, help us to just kind of in an open-handed way today, Lord, to say, Lord, you guide us. You help us to know how you guide. Help us to learn how you do that. And so, Lord, we just ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. So we've been in, again, like I mentioned, Psalm 23, and we're still there. And, You know, one of the reasons I've kind of camped in here, in this area, is I just, you know, there's a lot of folks in our church that are really going through very difficult times. And this is a psalm for the living, by the way. I mean, it's said at funerals a lot, and that's fine, but this is a psalm for the living. This is what we need, this psalm and others like it, where God just really shows us how he interacts with us, how this relationship works. And really, the Psalm 23 is just an incredible blessing in that way, where David, again, is looking to the Lord as his shepherd, and he is one of his sheep. And certainly David knows all about that kind of relationship, since he himself was a shepherd, right? So I'm just going to go ahead and read this here. So just listen this time. I'll read these six verses of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is God's word. So the first part of the verse that we want to talk about today, it's really the second part of verse 3, where David says, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And so I'm going to give you kind of the overview first of where we're headed today, and then we're going to take you on this journey through the two parts that I see here in this verse. When you look at that verse, I see two things. I see Jesus, the good shepherd, he guides his sheep. Just a fact. Okay? If you're one of his sheep, he wants to lead you. He wants to guide you. Okay? And so that's, you know, that's really that first part of the verse, right? Where it says, he leads me in paths of righteousness. So there's a way that he wants to lead me. There's a way he wants me to live my life that are in the paths of righteousness, okay? And so we need to, this is just a fact. He leads his sheep. And then secondly, that the good shepherd always guides us with a purpose in mind. That second part of the verse, right, where he says, for his name's sake. That's kind of a direction, that's a reason, you know, when it says for his name's sake. And so we'll take a look at that. But we're going to look at these two aspects of this verse, that just the truth that he does lead us, okay, and that he leads us for a purpose. And so before we get into how he leads us, I want to give us a couple of cautions, okay, a couple of cautions, things to look out for. You know, I have no idea what your framework is when you come in here and somebody asks you, how do you think God leads? How do you think he guides? You know, you make a decision by, you know, just randomly opening your Bible, pointing to a verse and hope that gives you some guidance? Is it the magic eight ball? You know, what is it, right? I mean, I don't know what framework you have, but there's some things that you need to be careful of, okay? And these are just a few of them. I really just have two I want to mention. One is, don't let your feelings be your guide. Okay, do not let your feelings be your guide. And the scripture that definitely points this out to us is in Proverbs 14:12 that says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. But its end is the way of death. So there, that phrase, there's a way that seems right to a man, is about feelings. It feels right. It seems right, right? You know, I mean, you hear songs written, right? If it feels so right, how can it be so wrong? That kind of thing, right? Well, you get into trouble, right, when we start living our lives by our feelings. Now, feelings are indicators, okay? But they should never lead us. They should never lead us. You know, one thing I just want to throw out to you, if you've been in Christendom or around churches very long, you'll start to hear these phrases that people use. Like, for example, when it comes to decision-making, people will say, well, I have peace about that, so I think it's okay. Okay, well, the presence or absence of peace about a particular decision, I think, is secondary, okay? Because there are things that I know that God wanted me to do that were not comfortable, and I was not, and when I was doing it, I was anxious, okay? Because, so I'm just saying, for example, you know, just sharing the gospel. I'm afraid a lot of times to share the gospel, but I know that God wants me to do it, okay? And so in that sense, where there's some anxiety, there's not peace, okay, in that way, okay? So the absence of peace doesn't mean, or excuse me, the presence of peace doesn't necessarily mean that you're doing the right thing. I mean, I've talked to people, and I know people that have made wrong decisions that are clearly wrong for the scripture, but have total peace about it. I mean, and so I'm just saying, you cannot, do not throw that out there as the thing that is guiding you, okay? That is a bad idea. Scripture tells us, I can give you anecdotal evidence in people's lives. It's just, you can't do it, okay? Do not let your feelings guide you, okay? And this is important. The second thing is, in terms of a caution, don't let your circumstances be your guide, okay? Now, God can use circumstances, but they should not be the things that lead us, okay? God is in control of everything. He's working all things together for our good, all that. I mean, so, but I'm saying, do not make your decisions simply based on, you know, circumstances. All right, so now an example of this, this is not the point of the passage, but I think it's an illustration, it's an example, okay? It's more of an example. So in the book of Acts, it's the history of the first century church, right? And certainly the missionary journeys of Paul and all of his ministry partners and so on, right? And so we find ourselves with Paul, and he's going to make a journey on a ship, okay? And so what is happening is Paul has something in him, whether it's the Spirit of the Lord or whatever, that is kind of giving him the idea that maybe this is not a good time to depart, okay? Now listen to this here in verse 20, Acts 27 verses 9 to 14 says, since much time has passed and the voyage was now dangerous because even the fast was already over, Paul advised them. So he's advising the people that are, you know, going to pilot the ship and so on, and saying, sirs, I perceive that the voyage will be with injury and much loss, not only of the cargo and the ship, but also for our lives. So it's like, is this simply saying, I have a feeling this is not a good idea? Okay, this is, you know, my paraphrase there. And then, but it says in verse 11, but the centurion paid more attention to the pilot and to the owner of the ship than to what Paul said, which you could kind of understand that, because you're like, you know, Paul, you're not a pilot of a ship, okay? You're not the guy to make that decision, okay? And then it says there in verse 12, and because the harbor was not suitable to spend the winter in, the majority decided to put out to sea from there on the chance that somehow they could reach Phoenix, a harbor of Crete, facing both southwest and northwest, and spend the winter there. Verse 13, now when the south wind blew gently, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, they weighed anchor and sailed along Crete close to the shore. And so here we get an indicator that, hey, these guys think, hey, the winds are starting to go this way. These circumstances tell us that we should just go ahead, okay? And then in verse 14, and I won't read the rest of the chapter, but it says in verse 14, but soon a tempestuous wind called the Northeaster struck down from the land, and from there things just fall apart. On their journey, they have to throw a bunch of the cargo over because they're gonna go down, it's going to sink. The winds kept changing directions and taking them different places. It was just a mess, okay? And so you just using this again as an illustration that just because the circumstances indicate one thing doesn't mean that's a good idea. Okay? Doesn't mean that's a good idea. And so you and I should not be thinking that our circumstances are the things that guide us. Okay? They should not be the things that guide us. Now, I could list off probably a number of other things. I'll mention one. So here's a bonus point, okay? You need to be careful to other people that you get counsel from, okay? In other words, I cannot tell you. I could tell you, but I won't tell you. Times when someone's marriage was in trouble and one of the spouses was getting information and advice from people that were far from God and totally godless advice. But those are the voices they listened to. Okay, and it ended in a train wreck. Okay, so I'd say you have to be careful who you take that advice in and take it to heart. Okay, you need godly people who love Jesus and are committed to his word. That's the people you want to seek counsel from, okay? So just some cautions, because as we get into talking about how do we go about being led by God. And so here's one of the things when we talk about how are we led by God. And let me just say this. I mean, in terms of God's communication with his people, over the entire Bible, you are going to find, I mean, I just list a few. God spoke to people through angels, prophets, dreams, visions, a gentle voice, preaching, a donkey, and this hand that appeared that was writing on the wall. I mean, and that's just a little sampling, okay? So these are just ways that God communicated, okay? And sometimes those communications were directions, guidance, or whatever. Sometimes they were just statements of fact, statements of judgment sometimes. I mean, just all kinds of communications. And so I do believe that God can speak in any way he chooses, because who am I to tell God that he can't speak that way to me or to you or some other person, okay? But I do think that he does primarily speak in a particular way. You'll see what that way is. But I'm not going to put God in a box and say he doesn't communicate in any other way, okay? I would be a fool to do that. Okay, because I, for one, I'm not going to go back and give you all the details, but I, for one, God woke me up in the middle of the night, directed me to a passage of Scripture that I was not thinking about, and gave me guidance one time. But that doesn't happen. That's not like that happens every day for me, okay? I mean, I could show you on one hand the times that happened in my 30, I don't even know how many years I've been saved now, but at least 30 years. I've been a Christian, so I'm just saying. Now, maybe I lack faith, but I'm just saying my experience tells me that the majority of the time he leads in the way I'm going to show you. Okay, but I want to say, God is amazing and can communicate in a number of different ways. Okay, so how do we know his ways? And even by saying that, that's kind of a strange thing to say, know his ways. Okay. Now, Linda's teaching back in Kick today, but if she were here, I'd say, I've been married to her since 1990. Okay, I know her ways. Okay, I know what she likes, what she doesn't like. I whether it's what we watch on television or where we go to eat for a date night, or I know the kinds of people she likes to hang out with. I mean, I know her ways. It's because I have a close relationship with her. We have a long history together. Plus, by making bad decisions that I've made, I learned, okay, that's not one of her ways. it's a boneheaded mistake there, Wow, I thought that was the best date ever. No, that was a bomb. But you learn that way, right? And so this is what I want to say is We need to learn his ways, and when we become acquainted with his ways, he guides through that, okay? You get that? So how do we learn his ways? So let's see, how do we know his ways? Well, one is humbly ask God for guidance. So this is the thing, is we need to want to know his guidance, okay? And so when we do that, take a look at Psalm 25, by the way, is a great psalm about God's guidance and David crying out to God for guidance. And so there's a few verses in there that I wanted to point out that talk about this this idea here of how God leads and knowing his ways, and specifically humbly asking God for guidance. So he says, "Make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long." And then when you skip on to verse 9, he says, "He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way." What did I do? Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, it's not Acts. Sorry, it's Psalms. Yeah, forgot to change the book of the Bible. That might get you to the right place. Thank you for pointing that out. Yeah, it's Psalm 25. Sorry, Psalm 25. So, do you see that in there? He's saying, "Make me know your ways, lead me." That's an expression. That's saying, "God, I want to know. I want to know." So, if you want to be led by the Lord, you got to want to know what his guidance is. You got to want to know what his ways are, just even how he operates, right? And the more you are walking with the Lord, the more you know his ways. And guys, this is why it's so important for us to walk with others in our walk with Jesus, because it's like, you know, when we're walking with others who have walked with the Lord for a while, they know his ways better than we do, okay? And so that's just so critical. But humbly asking God for guidance, that's one of the ways to know his ways. Another way is to be willing to do what he shows you. Okay, so it's one thing to say, "God, I want to know what it is. How you guide me, Lord. I want to know your ways." But then when he does show you something, you need to go into this with, "I'm willing to do it." It's like that song, "I'll Follow You Anywhere." It's that expression, right? It's got, okay, I don't know what God's going to say to me through his word or whatever, but when he does show me, I need to be willing to step out and do what he says. That's what we need. We need. And, you know, I feel like, again, this is obviously a feeling statement, I feel like the older I get, the less risks I take. Faith risks. I'm not saying that's a good thing, okay? I feel like, because there's, you know, there, you feel like, especially when you've got, when we had the kids home, there's more at stake if you make a mistake, right? And so on. But we can't be afraid. If the Lord directs us, if he guides us, we in one sense, we've got nothing to fear, because he's in that, right? And he'll be with us. And he always, wherever he guides, he supplies, right? He always supplies what we need wherever he directs, totally. He does do that. A verse that goes with this being willing. Oh, here we go again. It's Psalms. Psalm 25. I was on an axe kick, all right? A lot of axe going on there. All right, so yeah, Psalm 25, verse 12. "Who is the man who fears the Lord? He will instruct him in the way that he should choose." So listen, if I fear the Lord, I've got no problem doing what he tells me. This is a healthy fear of God. He's saying, and that's who God chooses to show his ways, is the one who fears the Lord, right? So I need to be... And this is the big thing, I think, for me and probably for a lot of you. We need to quit being afraid of what other people think. Okay? Many people have a fear. We even direct our lives because of how other people think. Right? Might be a family member, might be a parent, might be whatever, but we cannot live our lives and follow God the way he wants to if we're always worrying about what other people are thinking. And so this we have to be willing. Who is the man who fears the Lord? Him will God instruct in the way he should choose. This is just flat out what God says. You want to know God's instruction, then you need to be able, willing to do what he shows you. These are all kind of approaches. These are attitudes that we come to God with, right? These first couple of points is saying, I need to ask God for guidance, and I need to be willing to do what he shows me, right? These are all attitudes which we come to God with. That's why that first point I mentioned is just humbly asking God for guidance, right? All right. So, now this third way that we know his ways, that we come to know God's ways, which is probably, many of you probably thought it should have been first. There's no order to the importance of these things. But this one is to study God's word and apply it. If you want to know God's ways, you got to know God's word, okay? Because this is how God has revealed himself to us, right, through his son Jesus, but then through his written word, right? And so in the Bible, as we study it, we learn how God is. Again, it's this relationship, right, that we have with God through Jesus. But we learn what he loves, what he hates, what he desires for us through the Bible. Okay? And I hope more than anything else that you would stake your guidance on what has been revealed more than what has not been revealed. Like, you know, some feeling that you had, like we said. We need to base it on what God has said. Okay? And so, in the Bible, hey, finally got Psalm right. Psalm 119, verses 9 and 105. So verse 9 says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. Right? So this just shows how the word just is such a powerful, tool in the life of a believer. It really does help us living a godly life. Okay? And so, we really need, this is why we have small groups. This is why we have Bible studies. This is why we want people to be getting in God's word and not just having social time, all right? And, you know, it's important to have some social time to build relationships, but we also want believers in our church to make sure that they're growing in their understanding of what the Bible says and how to apply it to their life, okay? Because of this, we need to learn God's ways, right? We need to learn God's ways. And then this Psalm 119:105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. What a great metaphor, isn't it? And you just get this image of, Linda always makes fun of my flashlight I have at home. I bought this, okay, so every once in a while I do stupid little impulse buys. You already know I have a problem with this. All right. I went to Batteries Plus one time and they had these, you know, they got the coolest gadget stuff up there, okay? And there was this flashlight. It does like everything. It's only this big, you know, but it'll blind somebody right at the door, you know. And so, but I think about that flashlight. I love it because I can just, you know, adjust the beam. It's magnetic, you know, just all this stuff. And it can, you know, SOS. It can do SOS. You know, just I probably should have had that at Prairie Oaks. SOS, you know. But anyway, you think about that and how when you shine a flashlight, you can see enough to kind of usually make the next step. Or just a little bit in front of me, and that's all you know. You don't know what's way far ahead. You just kind of know what's there, right? And I think about in our walk with God how he works that way a lot of times. He'll show us something in his word that kind of gives us that next step, okay? And a lot of times, you know, it's not like he resolves everything. It's like, okay, he gives me a nugget of his truth. I take it in, and I just believe it. I trust it. And then, you know, spending time with God, oftentimes he shows me other things. I just take that, whatever that next step he shows me is, right? And that's why his word is so important. If we don't know what it says, and also as important, know what it means and how it applies, if we don't know that, then we're not going to be able to do this. We're not going to be able to allow God's word to illuminate our path, to learn how to walk in the ways of righteousness. We're cutting ourselves off from the source of how he leads, really, primarily, his word. And so I know that, you know, sometimes maybe you just need to get into a version of the Bible that you can understand, okay? Some people are turned off from reading the Bible because They're like, I don't understand the version that I have. And, you know, if we want any help with that, I'd be happy to talk to you about, you know, just a good Bible to get into that maybe would be easier for you to understand. But because you need to eliminate the barriers that keep you from getting in God's Word and studying it, okay, whatever they are, okay? Now, it's not going to come easy, by the way, okay? It's going to come with effort, right? Because even just reading the Bible, just reading it, I'm not even talking about getting with other people and reading it with them and studying it, but just even your own Bible reading, it's going to be a fight, man. It's going to be a fight because you'll find a dozen reasons why that morning that you just don't have time for that, right? But just, you need to think about this, how important the Word of God is in God leading us, okay? So we have to get a handle on the Word of God because that's how we know the ways of God, all right? Take a look at this verse here in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 to 14. It says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil." Now, there's a lot in these verses, but there's a couple of places I just want to focus in on, okay? One is in that verse 13. You know, he's drawing this analogy, right, between a child and kind of a mature person, right? And he's basically, what do you call it? He's kind of chastising these believers because they should be able to teach other people right now, but they're really still young in their faith. And so in verse 13, he says, "For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness." And in my point of view, this is basically him saying, you know, you don't know how to handle the word. You don't know what it says. You don't know how to apply it. That's being, you know, if we don't know how what the God's word says, we don't know how to apply it to our lives, we are unskilled in the word of righteousness, okay? And so he's saying, if you stay there, you're not going to become a mature Christian. You will not be growing up in your faith. You need to continually grow in your understanding of God's word and how it applies to our lives, okay? That's critical because that's the path to maturity. But then he says, verse 14, "But solid food is for the mature." Okay, so now we're talking mature Christian. "For those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice." Practice of what? Well, I think in the context, it's the practice of the word of righteousness. The verse right before it, he's saying, they practice what they learned. They became accustomed to the word of righteousness, God's word, and they actually obeyed it. And when we know it and obey it, we grow. Okay? If we just know it, we just get fat spiritually. Okay? And you know, we need to apply it. Okay? And we need to obey what God shows us. And so, in so doing, he says, you know what? Because as you study the Word of God, you become acquainted with His ways. And you know there's not a verse for everything that happens to you, right? There's not. I'd love it that there was. But every situation you encounter, there's not a verse. So, you know, what do we got to go on then? You know, well, how do we make good decisions? How do we make godly decisions? Well, if we become acquainted with His ways, then we can probably whittle down some of our decisions to some really good options and jettison the bad ones, discerning good from evil, okay? So our discernment grows as we obey. And it's that discernment, like he says here, this discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. He's like, you know what? It's almost like our spiritual ability to discern good from evil grows as we obey what he has shown in the scriptures. Okay? All right? Does that make sense? All right? So again, this is how do we become acquainted with his ways? All right? And the importance of obedience, okay, in our growing in that. Okay? Because if all we do is just get information, that's all you got. Information. We need transformation. Okay? And we grow by doing that. Okay. Now, another thing here, so we've talked about knowing God's ways, okay? Knowing God's ways, and we talked about how we're really focusing in on really what God has revealed in His Word. But now, again, this kind of fits in that category of, okay, well, there's not a verse for everything. So can I get a little help from God even if it's not already written down, right? Yes, yes. Apple Watch doesn't have the answer to that. That doesn't surprise me, okay? I'm just saying now, Apple Watch doesn't know squat in math either, okay? Because when this happens to me when I'm in the classroom, it's like, I can't answer that. I'm like, you don't know anything. Sorry about that. But anyway, you know, we need to be filled with the Spirit, okay? How do you recover from that, Steve? I don't know. Don't wear the watch. That's really the thing. So the Word of God and the Spirit of God together is really how God guides us, okay? Right? And so for those things that are black and white and even principles that we can learn for use in things that aren't black and white, the Word of God. But there are those times when the Holy Spirit, if you're a Christian, you've got the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit just impresses something upon you about this is the right way to go. This decision is the right decision. And we can get those wrong. That's subjective. That's not 100% accurate all the time. But God does guide that way. You know, I think about here in Romans 8:14, says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. So if you're a son or daughter of God, if you're a Christian, he wants us to be led by His Spirit, right? Wants us to be led by the Spirit. I'm not going to go here right now, but you might want to write this down there in Ephesians 5. Somewhere on the order of 5:18 to 25, where he talks about being filled with the Spirit. In the same breath, he also talks about making the most of your time, right? So if I want to make the most of my time, I want to be led by the Spirit. I need to be walking in the Spirit, right? So I know how to make wise decisions. So I am making the most of my time, right? So again, this is where, you know, it just, we so like everything. Okay, I'm a mathematics guy, right? So we like things, you know, step by step, man. Just, you know, but you know, in the realm of faith, guys, it's just not always laid out that way. Okay, so many times it's like, okay, well, God gives us these parameters, and He says, okay, go for it. You know, and we kind of His Spirit in us. He does use His Spirit in us to guide us. I don't have a formula for that. There isn't one, okay? And if there was one, I'd be suspicious of it. Okay? So I just want to encourage you that, you know, if you're a Christian, you've got the Spirit of God in you, be open to His leading. You know? Be open to His leading. I don't think I mentioned this, but the Spirit of God is never going to lead you to do anything that God's Word has said is wrong, right? And so that's why, again, it's so important for us to know the Word of God and what it says, so we won't be led astray, and that's so that it also helps us then when we think the Spirit might be leading us in a certain direction as a check, you know, that it's, you know, if what I think is a leading is really against what something God has said in Scripture, then I know it's not the Spirit of God. It's just me, something, you know. And so this is important, right? So we got the Word and the Spirit, and so it's critical for us to understand that being filled with the Spirit, right? I think too about the Spirit of God. Didn't the Spirit of God said to the disciples there, before he ascended to be with the Father, He said, listen, you know, My Spirit's going to bring all this stuff to your mind so that you'll be able to write it all down, right? I think that's so cool, isn't it? That, you know, the Holy Spirit could bring to remembrance all the things that God wanted the disciples to write down, right? And we can be confident that He did, right? Well, so think about that kind of a thing. You know, now we don't have this kind of accuracy, like we're going to write down things that are inerrant, okay? I'm not implying that. but extrapolate that. What does it say in Ephesians 6 about the Word of God? Doesn't it call the Word of God what? The sword of the Spirit. It says, which is the Word of God? Well, I don't think it's any accident that he says the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, right? So when you have the Word of God in you, right, through study and acting on it, then it's almost then the Holy Spirit can access that when you need it, right? So when you're in a situation and you know, it's almost like the Holy Spirit can, like, you know, it's the Holy Spirit database index, you know, boom, pull up that verse that applies that maybe you need to minister to somebody. I've had that happen before. Where I'm, you know, I'll be sitting there, oh God, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say to this person. They really need you. Boom, comes the verse. And it was a verse that I had committed to memory, but I wasn't remembering it until the Spirit brought to my mind, right? And so I'm just simply saying, this is why, you know, the Holy Spirit is working in God's guidance, and he will sometimes bring to mind things that we have studied before, okay? But he's never going to have you do anything that's contrary to the Word of God. Okay. All right, and this is really the end of this here when we talk about that verse, because remember, we actually were in Psalm 23, right? And we've been talking about that he leads us in paths of righteousness, right? We're just taking a quick look at how we learn God's ways. And if we learn God's ways, that's how he guides, right? And that he guides through his Spirit as well. But thirdly, we need to remember that he is always guiding us for his purposes and his glory, okay? In other words, whatever's going on in my life, whatever he's leading me through right now, it's for his glory, okay? That the second part of that verse, that Psalm 23:3, that second part that we says where he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. It's for his name's sake. It's for him. Because my life and your life as a believer is a reflection on him, right? And we want to live in a way that our lives are just like a reflection of his glory, right? And so I ran upon this verse. I want to share it with you. There's the Psalm 23:3 for his name's sake. But this Romans 11:36, just what an incredible verse here. It's, and speaking of Christ, speaking of Jesus, okay, our good shepherd. For from him and through him and to him are all things. Okay, now that may not sound like much, but let me just say, we could spend a month talking about those phrases. From him, Jesus Christ created everything. Everything that's happening is from him, and he manages it through him. He's like, you ever seen that verse where it's talking about he holds it all together, basically? You know, I think maybe it's in Colossians. He's Jesus Christ. You know, if he wanted to snap his fingers and all the molecules just dissipate, he's holding it together. He is, okay? Through him, all things exist. You, me, the path he's got us on, it's he is managing it, if you will, all. Back to that shepherd metaphor with the sheep, okay? A good shepherd will not just put his sheep in a pen and just leave them there for months on end. Because you know what's going to happen? There won't be a stitch of grass left nor a root of grass. They'll eat it down to the bone, and it'll be worth nothing to them in the future. You have to rotate your sheep to different pastures. You have to intentionally lead them. You know, a good shepherd's a good manager, basically. And so you think about that in our lives, right? The Lord Jesus, our good shepherd, he's leading us. He's, in a sense, managing our lives in a way. He's leading us along. He's taking us through different paths in different pastures. But it's all for a particular direction, all for one purpose. It's for him, okay? That last part, to him are all things, which means the purpose of your life and my life and the paths of righteousness he wants us to walk on is so that it will all point to Jesus. Okay? It's for him, it's for his glory, right? you look at the book of Revelation. What is everything pointed at there? The Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, right? It's all for him. This is why, again, I love that. I think it's like the opening statement in Rick Warren's book, you know, Purpose Driven Life, says, you know, your life is not about you. Your life is not about you. You know, if we just live that, if we just believe that, right, on a more regular basis, things we would see God just really move in our lives. And that's the challenge, right? If we believe this, to him are all things, right? He leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. It's for him. So when you and I are being led through areas that we're not real thrilled about, we need to think about God knows what he's doing. He's the good shepherd. Somehow he's going to get glory out of this. Somehow, even though it looks like the wheels are falling off, and maybe they actually are, you know, but there is a purpose in this. And I believe in a God who can also even work things out for good, even by other people sinning. Look, have you ever read the life of Joseph? Genesis chapter 50? Check that out. People sinning against him all day long. All right? Put him in jail multiple times. Not his fault. But was able to say, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. That is the kind of place we need to be in our faith. As he leads us along in paths of righteousness, it's an issue of trust. God, will I trust you? As you're leading me, will I trust you? Do I believe that you are taking me to a place that's good? Do I believe that this is for your, you're going to somehow be more glorified through this than maybe the outcome that I want? Okay. So let's pray together. Okay. Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for your word, how it is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Your word guides us, gives us solid truth that we can just stake our lives on, our decisions on. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would help us to trust your word. Lord, help us to grow in the discipline and the study of your word, to get with other people, to study your word, get in a small group, get together with others, just even informally, and study your word together so that we might become more acquainted with your ways, so that we would make decisions and allow you to lead us into paths of righteousness. We'd make decisions that are glorifying to you. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.